kind of, I guess, ripple of, it's probably not the right word, when you put Andrew and Adam together, what kind of ripple effect does that have down the lineup when you have those, especially, I guess, at home when you can match against maybe McDavid or that sort of thing?
It what it does is it allows you to move an offensive line around a little bit. So we would look at Scheifele's line as a hybrid, right? They'll play against McDavid or they won't. Lowry's line will, but it lets you move Little's line and Scheifele's line around a little bit, because when you look back over the last 2 years, a lot of nights at home, based on the style of off number one offensive line on the other team, I play Mark there. And then on certain nights, and certainly if you miss a rotation then, or right, the other guy goes to three-line rotation and you miss him, then you've got some coverage. It's not that the other lines can't play. It's just I can't play against that line. It's just some better coverage, and there are times on the road that it's really important. Some nights you just can't get it, and then I'll just change the lines a little bit to go with a different look. But it makes running the bench lets me move some offensive players around. I don't have to save Scheifele's line to make sure he goes out against McDavid. And and then you're pulling lines off the ice and you're out of a rhythm. So you kind of got to look at these two lines are going to play against the other team's best. And every once in a while, Brian Little's line will do that. And we've had nights in here where our best matchup was actually Little's line against the other team's best, because they were trading a little bit or they wanted to play an open game. And you know, Brian's all mostly paid with some speed, so it was good. Just makes running the bench easier for me, for sure.
So obviously Brian's return then, or
possibly
possible
return. He had a really good day today, but we would wait to see how he is tomorrow before we make a final decision.
And just one last one for you. How has Adam handled just his different roles this
year? Yeah, perfectly, as he always did. So he came into the season, and when we lost Brian, and we had different lines, he kind of accepted what he needed to do. And I think his game's built. I've liked his last three or four. His legs are right. So I think the timing of it, just kind of watching him get up and down the ice, some of it is just maybe nostalgic. You remember that they looked like that before. One of the things Jack can do is he can skate. What's changed for us maybe, and we're hopeful, is that Jack Roslovic has developed now into not being every second shift kind of guy. So he's had a bunch of games here where every shift he's gone out and just gone hard. And that's what that role demands. You've got Adam and Andrew, very smart defensive players, and they don't cheat the game. So we can have, like, Brandon was an energy guy, a speed guy on that line, not necessarily a defensive reads guy. He'd block shots, he'd get in on the forecheck, he'd drive the pace. And Jack can do that. He truly can do that, but he also has a pretty nifty set of hands. So we think there's an even bigger upside with that line. I can play him against the other team's best. They can do that job, but we've always felt there were chances for with that line, that they would on a number of nights be our highest chances for line. They just didn't have the conversion rate. We think that Jack can do that for us. It's not going to be a straight line. It's going to be nights he comes off it until he gets to that pro level where it's every night, but we're kind of excited about it, and a big part of that's Jack Roslovic kind of taking that next step to be an everyday pro.
That would have been an important practice for Brian Little, obviously, and that's probably one of you had the benefit of the practice, and so you can maybe the benefit of waiting a day so he gets that practice in. What did you see from him?
Yeah, so he just in conversation, you could see it there. His first practice with the group, and it wasn't a very heavy practice. He didn't really look like, he's still a real good player, but he didn't look like himself today. He's moving like Brian has always moved. You know, he got up and down the ice, he made some plays, but he worked real hard. And at the end of it, he's got a big smile on his face, because it was a fast, and it was kind of a hard practice in terms of the pace of it, and he handled it fine. So he's feeling good.
What was important for you to see from that practice? Because you've had a busy schedule, you haven't had that kind of time to work on some details, and you've got a team that's got some exciting individuals on it coming in.
Yeah, there was a bit of a reinforcement of what we actually have been good at, and defending the rush has been good, and holding the line, we've been good at the blue line, but you're going to get the biggest test in the NHL coming in between them and Colorado. That transition speed's there, so we wanted to brush up on that. we've got some low three kind of D zone coverage areas that we need to clean up, and just it's just habits. So we did a bit of that transition. But we went through a 9 and 15 block, you have a day off, and what happens in that is you take a deep breath, even though at 4 and 5 we can't. You kind of go, okay, the tough part's over. So the next practice you come back, you don't want it to be an hour and a half, but it can't be light. It's got to kind of get them back into the fire a little bit. So we got up and down fairly hard for that reason.
You're echoing a lot what Josh Morrissey said. I mean, even in a situation where the team defensively, you're still, you know, it's a work in progress, but they relish an opportunity to have a guy like him come in, right. As opposed to being, oh my, you know, the sky's falling. They're looking forward to the opportunity.
You know, they should, because there's a bunch of things. I think I don't view our back end the way I feel it's been looked at. I get when you look at the lack of experience, I get that. But our back end isn't something right now that has to be at its peak. It's too young, but we got to build this thing, and parts of that is these guys kind of rallying around a big day, right? Get excited about playing a player like McDavid and Drysdale and Neil, obviously the way he's playing, Nugent Hopkins, some skills, they got good size, good speed. We want those guys excited about the game, because if they're excited about the game, then I know they're going to get better, right? We don't know what our defense is yet. It's not weak, it's inexperienced, but that means nothing, right? Josh Morrissey's first year in the NHL, he had absolutely no experience. He was a great player. So we've got some young guys back there and some guys that, you know, that didn't get an 82-game chance when they first came in the league. They've had to scratch and claw, but those guys can build an identity just themselves, and that's what we're banking on, and that's where the direction we're going with them. I'm not going to apologize for our defense. It was just... they're working their asses off. We got some still really young up front, but we got experience up front. We got lots of skill. We got to get back there and help these guys out and make them feel good and play some good hockey.
Paul, what's the latest on Letestu and Betetto?
Betetto's day-to-day, so he's IR'd. Mark, we've shut down. He's got to get some tests done. That will happen at the end of the month, and then I'll be able to give you a clean idea of what we're dealing with.
He going on IR also?
It's the weekend, Kenny. That's what happens.
No problem. We talked about Hanel a lot. What did it tell you about him that he was able to not only just come back from the three healthy scratches, but play with confidence? Because for some young players, it could be a challenge.
Yeah, the three healthy scratches for him weren't personal. We did walk him through it and he's 18. He's not 220 pounds. He just went through a heavy, heavy camp and got right into the teeth of 9 and 15 in the NHL. So some of it was preservation, make him feel good when he stepped on the ice. So he got a chance to practice a little bit. He felt good about himself. We didn't pull him out and show him 20 clips of him making mistakes. That wasn't it. You know, showed him all the good things he was doing, try to get him to keep doing it and get him a little bit of rest. And so he's now, for me, he looks good. He looks strong. And he doesn't look worn down.
Just going back to the defense, Neil, to me it seems that he's bought in maybe the most to the team defensive structure that you guys employ. I don't know if that...
It's a different set of words that I would use. He has adapted very, very quickly because he can, right? So... the style of game that will develop from those guys, skating matters, right? So we went from a size back end to kind of guys that can skate a little bit and move the puck a little bit. So he has the ability to do it.
Has he defied expectations of yours, maybe?
Not at all, like not one little bit. But what the case was is you didn't know him, right? So he... up until an injury last year, he played with Stahl, and he played against the other team's best. I don't know if I've told this story, but it's true. We go into New York to play them last year. They had played in Montreal the night before, so we get them on back-to-back. I start Scheifele's line with Connor and Wheeler, and they play Stahl and Pionk, and I don't know Neil Pionk at all. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good, right? Who is this guy? And we're down 3-0 after two. Now, we came back in that game. They were on back-to-back and beat him in overtime or shootout. But that was my first kind of introduction into Neil. So you go back and I'm watching the video from him And this guy's a version of Josh Morrissey. That was what I was left with, and we think the world of Josh. So let's just call it an introduction, right? When you don't see a player from the East Coast, you wouldn't know a whole lot about him. This guy's a good player.
Just one last one. What needs to improve on the penalty kill? I mean, obviously not allowing goals, of course, but, I mean, like, is it just a unit not moving the right way? Is it just jointed? Or?
No, I'm going to look at our PK right now in some ways as a version of our defense. So we did. We had basically five killers leave us last year, so we got brand new people. Some have done it before, but if you're looking at units in four, every one of them is brand new. So getting them in sync and then confident and then understanding that there would be not a lot of these guys got to the National League as penalty killers, especially on our back end now. It's just going to take some time. It's just like our D-zone coverage is going to take a little bit of time, and our six-man group there are going to take a little bit of time to develop. We believe firmly that we can still win hockey games, but there's lots of room to improve, and there's lots of reads that have to be learned, and then we got to find a way to get them to be a little confident with it so we can go fast, right? Take a look at our power play at the start of the year. I mean, that's a good power play unit, but it got a little tentative because we had some bad breaks go against us, and all of a sudden we're not a very good power play unit, but you know it is, right? And then it gets that confidence is the key piece to that. So our PK is a little rattled right now. Fortunately, Edmonton's rolling into town, and sometimes that's what it is, right? You need that. You need to look at those five guys they got on the ice and go, man, and that fear will drive you to be good.